Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call and talk show about health and natural medicine. It's March 4th, 2020, so go forward, young person, or old person. I am Fran Sorch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. All right. So Ron and I went to the 2020 Know Your Farmer Fair.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and it was Saturday, February 29th at the Wyndham Town Hall Auditorium in Willimantic, Connecticut, and we had a nice time.
Yeah.
I got some nice stuff. I got some real alpaca wool gloves that were very cozy. I got fingerless gloves, and now I think I want a pair of gloves with fingers, too, from them. I got an alpaca glove dryer ball, and, you know, I rushed and threw some laundry in the dryer on Monday evening and then, you know, never went back to it because, you know, I threw it in late, and then I was flat out yesterday, so I haven't, and flat out until this minute. And so when I get home at, 2:30 in the afternoon or later, I'll take a look and see how that dryer ball did. But I've been flat out. I don't even know how the dryer ball did. I got Ron some nice warm alpaca wool shoe inserts. Did you use those?
I haven't yet, no.
No, all right. But nope. I gave
I'm
them to you.
I know. I have a list of other things I've been doing.
Okay. Oh. So I got some local fire cider there, and it was really good. It was really great. And you know what's funny? I can do, even though I can't do onions and garlic, I seem to be able to handle fire cider even if it has garlic in it, which is so weird. Yeah.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so, I cooked the daylights out of the garlic when I tried to serve it to you.
It
doesn't seem to matter.
No. And I do okay with salsa because the salsa, when you buy salsa, it's usually been pasteurized, so it's been heated at pretty high temperatures.
I was going to say, there's definitely in salsa, we definitely have some things that are that you would be reacting to and you haven't. So.
No, I know, but the for some reason the fire cider works. It's nice and warming. Well, because I think it has other things that are soothing, like the vinegar itself, and also it has a lot of ginger in it. So it has things that maybe counteract the garlic. But I seem to be able to handle it, and it gives me a nice warming feeling, and I think it's like just the best thing to fight off these colds and flus and viruses and things. Mountain Dairy handed us some chocolate milk, and Ron said, yes, I'll take that. And yeah, so that was nice. I also got a horsehair braided bracelet, and that was nice, too. And this nice woman named Adrienne gave us samples of these spicy radishes and oil and vinegar. So what did you like about the fair?
I liked the fact I met some interesting people that were doing kind of cool stuff. So there's definitely a lot more farmers in the area that are surviving on being farmers than I thought. So I would say that I definitely found some interesting stuff out there. A lot more farmers are out there that are raising meat and all, you know, very organically and environmentally correct and
sustainable ways. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that was good. I definitely saw that. Seems like there was something else that really kind of was outstanding. You know, got a nice talk with one of the chefs from Cafe Mantic.
Yeah.
Who was producing a really nice radish salad.
Oh, that was Adrienne.
Yeah. Adrienne. Yeah. And really, really nice radish salad. And I wouldn't have thought to do what she did with the radish, but she cut them in like really thin pieces and did different radishes and put them together and with a little bit of a dressing.
I would eat a salad that was entirely made of radishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, well, I really like radishes.
So what's with radishes? Tell us about radishes.
Radishes are really good for you. So radishes are, would you do me a favor and look up and see what family they're in? I'm not sure if they're cruciferous or not.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, but radishes have very spicy notes in them, and they happen to be great biliary tonics. So they're really good for your liver. If you're looking for liver-friendly foods, foods to make your liver work better, they're a good one. And they're nice and light and spicy. And if you like the taste of radishes, you know, radishes tend to be lighter than turnips, and they're not as sulfury tasting. They're more peppery than sulfury. So if you like the peppery notes, what family are they in?
Radishes are members of the
Brassicaceae.
Brassicaceae, or so cabbage family.
They are
mustard or cabbage family.
So they are cruciferous vegetables. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the cruciferous vegetables are sulfur bearing, and sulfur is a great element that binds with a lot of it. You need it to support a lot of amino acids in your body. It's part of structure. It's part of MSM, which is the basic form that sulfur takes in your body, methylene sulfonyl methane. And sulfur is a part of, you make disulfide bonds for all of the proteins in your body. And sulfur is part of various amino acids for detoxification, like glycine and glutathione, and a bunch of others too, and methionine and cysteine and N-acetylcysteine and glucosamine. They're all sulfur bearing. So when you eat cruciferous vegetables, you'll get, it's a good source of sulfur. And then there are components in cruciferous vegetables, especially radishes, that are, they're cholagogues and choleretics. So they cause you to make bile and to move bile through your liver. And bile is an essential fluid. Well, I should be careful if we're using the word essential. When you use the word essential, when you're talking about a substance, it usually means it's something you have to ingest. And bile is not something you need to ingest, although we do sometimes. We do give you bile as supplements sometimes. But I mean essential in the sense that it is necessary to your function. And if you don't have good biliary flow, all kinds of bad things can happen. Bile emulsifies and also dissolves toxins that your liver is trying to excrete from your body, and it will carry out extra hormones, and it'll carry out extra detoxification products, and it moves substances that you need to get out of your body. When you break down your red blood cells, one of the byproducts is bilirubin, and bilirubin gets moved out of your liver and your biliary system through bile. And bile is really important for emulsifying fats. And so that you can use them, so you can absorb them and use them to build structure in your body. So when you eat cruciferous vegetables, when you eat those spicy cruciferous vegetables like your radishes, they're going to help with that good bile flow. So they're really good for you.
Hey, would you like 7 fun facts about radishes?
Okay.
This is from WebMD.
They're spicy.
They are spicy. They're fun. They really are fun. I like them. I think they're an interesting vegetable. The history of radishes, they were first cultivated in China. Radish crops spread through the northern hemisphere and into Europe in the 1500s. Radishes had reached Massachusetts by 1629. Number 2, all in the family. Radishes are members of the Brassicaceae. Brassicaceae. It's quite a word.
Also known as cabbage, also known as cruciferous.
Right. Family. The roots are related to kale, broccoli, cauliflower, horseradish, among others.
That's right.
Okay. Calories. Radishes are great low-calorie
snack.
They
have almost no calories.
1 cup of sliced radishes has only 19 calories.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Link to wasabi. Radishes are related to wasabi, a type of horseradish,
right,
which in paste form is a staple condiment of Japanese cuisine.
Right.
Where they grow. Most states grow radishes, but California and Florida boast the biggest crops in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
about that. Pretty cool. Number 6 here, it says, your child's first plant, because they grow rapidly, radish plants are ideal for children's gardens. The scientific name for the genus that includes radishes
is Raphanus. Yes.
Greek for quickly appearing.
Oh, did not know that.
Ah, there you go. And number 7 on the list, radish varieties. Several varieties of radishes are available year-round.
Yeah.
They vary in size, taste, and color,
yeah,
but share nutritional values.
The red ones.
That's it.
There's the red ones and the black ones and the watermelon ones,
right,
and the green ones. And Amy, you know, because she works at Tobacco Road, she'll bring me radishes. She'll bring radishes and she'll share them with me. And she has this spicy green radish, and I'm not the big ones.
I know that one. Yeah,
yeah. She tries to give me the outer skin, like the outer green part.
The darkest part. Yeah,
that's the spiciest part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good, and she just munches on them like they're just like a snack. She'll just like eat a whole radish.
Well, I can do that too.
Well, I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that at all. I'm a big fan of the radish, and the thing with the radish, if you like spice, if you like the flavor and the crunch of radishes, they're great for. They're a great alternative to eating a cracker, which a cracker might have too many calories for you, might have too much starch for you. These, not only are they very low calorie, they're crunchy and they're hard, so you can dip them into things.
Right, so you can cut slices of them and serve them as like with hummus or something.
Where if
like
you
that.
Have too many crackers, you might overwhelm your liver and your blood sugar situation with starchy food. When you eat radishes, you're actually helping the whole system.
Oh, that's cool. So let's look at that the next time we are entertaining. We'll bring radish chips with us.
Also, really
That'd
high in
fun.
Fiber.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be good for that, too.
Yeah, and they're interesting. They're different than just having a chip.
Yeah. I wonder if not everybody's going to like them because they are spicy.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably true. I know there are people like your friend Rob doesn't like spicy.
Rob likes radishes, though.
He
likes horseradish.
Like really?
Yes, he really likes horseradish.
Well, horseradish is really interesting. All radishes are interesting, only in the fact that they give you that spicy, but it goes away.
Yes.
It's not like it lingers like a pepper.
Right.
Like peppers can hang out. If you talk to Doug Crane about peppers, he's got some peppers that will hang on to you for like half an hour or longer.
Oy.
Yeah, some serious peppers. Yeah,
I got into a conversation
with him once about peppers, and he has different strains for different, you know, different applications.
Right. So. Yeah. So I have to go on and talk about the coronavirus more because
I'm going to talk about it today too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all right.
That's all right. It's you know, it's news right now. It's kind of a big deal.
So. I wrote, the first thing I wrote was touch on the coronavirus again. Actually, don't do that.
No, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch that. No.
there were some memes. There were some funny memes that came out about the coronavirus where the CDC is responding to people singing songs. And one of them, I'll see if I can repeat one of them. One of them was the Beatles. Yeah, I can tell you something. I want to hold your hand. And the CDC says, no, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
I want to hold your hand. Please don't do that. And there's
right.
a whole bunch of songs like that where the CDC's like, no, you can't do that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's weird because when you're in situations, you know, where people would normally shake your hand, they're like, they're starting to like do elbow bumps.
Elbow bumps and fist bumps. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. They are.
Yeah. And so which is really kind of annoying, but that's all right.
I was still getting hugs from various patients yesterday, and I'm going to make hugs optional, I think, just for people's comfort level. Not that I'm super worried about catching it. No, there are still no cases in Connecticut that we know of.
No, but there are many more cases in the U.S.,
yeah.
So they're starting to pop up all over the place.
So
and there's especially like Washington State.
Washington State has a lot of them.
Got a lot of stuff going on.
So I got to get hold of Eric and see what's going on up there.
And I'll have some information on that on the next show.
Okay.
So
yeah. So we want to remind you again that you want to really focus on cleaning your hands, your throat, and your nose. Wash your hands all the time. If you have some time, wash your hands. If you should carry hand sanitizer and hand sanitize after you've been out in public or touched anything. If you're in the bathroom, take that opportunity to wash your hands. If you're by the sink in the kitchen, wash your hands. And you should be washing your hands for at least 20 seconds, 20 to 25 seconds. And that's about the time that it takes to sing either Happy Birthday or the ABCs twice. We used to say just sing it once. Sing it twice. So one of the things that's going on is that masks are getting sold out. So we want to emphasize that it's more important to wash your hands and not touch your face, and that the masks that so the mask that you would just buy in the drugstore, first of all, they're selling out. If you go to the drugstore, there are signs that say we don't have any. We have a box because I bought them when I came home from Florida after you got sick back in October. So I do actually have a box if we were to need it. But the masks really help prevent sick people from getting virus on you. But those masks, the very basic masks that you get at the drugstore, they won't protect you from getting sick. The ones that protect you from getting sick are really for healthcare workers who are, you know, caring for sick people all the time. And these are special fitted masks. They're respirators, and they're special fitted masks that they have a certain composition so that viruses can't get through, and they have to be fitted to a person's face. And for example, you need to, in order to fit them properly to your face, you can't have facial hair. So whether you have facial hair or not, you have to shave.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get your facial hair off so that they fit properly to your mask. So it's not, unless you're sick yourself, you don't need to really worry about wearing a mask. But what you do need to be concerned about is washing your hands a lot. I also think it's a good idea to clean your nose. If you can do a neti pot every day, that would be a good thing. And also spraying nasal spray. There's a couple of nasal sprays I like. One is the one that has the xylitol. There's one I can get with xylitol, salt, sea salt, and grapefruit seed extract in it. There's another one you can get that actually has oregano oil in it. It's a nasal spray that has oregano oil in it. And oregano oil kills just about anything. I think maybe we're going to get some of that. And then there's another one that you can get that has xylitol, erythritol. By the way, erythritol also is antimicrobial and breaks down biofilm, and a whole bunch of essential oils in it. So that's really nice, too. So you can get nasal sprays with essential oils. They'll kill a lot of different things. And you might use them once or twice a day just preventatively. And even if you're using a neti pot, my recommendation is after you use your neti pot, spray your nose so that you're instilling some antimicrobial stuff that stays in there. So that's going to be helpful to you. So again, cleaning your hands, nose, and don't forget to gargle, because viruses stick to the back of your throat. And so it's important to gargle. You can always, if you don't have any other stuff, very simply gargle with, you don't gargle with plain water, but you do gargle with salt water. So you put a little salt in. Salt will clean a lot of stuff out. It's antimicrobial. It helps to break up viruses and bacteria. And it also helps to draw mucus out of the back of your throat. Once again, elderberry. It's questionable whether elderberry goes after the coronavirus, but it is immune tonic and it's a great antiviral in general. So you can still use it. Definitely you want to use vitamin A, and vitamin A, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Vitamin A helps to stimulate your cells to fight against viruses. Vitamin C does a bunch of things. It stimulates the white blood cells to be more active, and it also strengthens the lining of your mucous membranes. I have some favorite herbs that are good for immunity as well as lung tonics. Two immune herbs I really like are osha and eleuthero, also echinacea. Echinacea, if you take a lot of echinacea, some people get a little bit of stomach upset with it. And eleuthero and osha, you generally won't. Elecampane and yerba santa are really great lung tonics. Yerba santa is also a great antiviral. And marshmallow, elecampane, and mullein are all really good for the respiratory tract, and marshmallow is also a great antiviral. Marshmallow is going to help to coat and soothe your respiratory tract. Anything mucilaginous is going to do that. So marshmallow, mullein, and elecampane are all going to do this. If you make yourself some nice marshmallow root tea, you'll make this nice slippery tea that has mucilage in it, and the mucilage will help to make it so that viruses have a harder time sticking to the inside of your mucous membranes. So, and also keep your mucous membranes moist. And you know what the number one thing to keep your mucous membranes moist is?
Neti pot? No, water.
Yeah.
Drinking water. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't let yourself get dehydrated. It's bad because your mucous membranes will dry out. Okay.
That's not good.
No. And this time of year, it's that time of year when people forget to drink. So you want to stay hydrated. That's really important. More good antivirals. Ginger, ginger, ginger. I can't say enough about ginger. Whether you do it in ginger tea, whether you keep some candy ginger in your desk and you chew on some of those, Ron always tells me when he makes a soup to not chew on the ginger root, and I do it anyway. Because it's really good for you. Ginger has amazing anti-inflammatory properties. And one of the things that you get concerned about with this virus is that it causes cytokine storms. It causes severe inflammation. Then that's what causes the respiratory distress and also the kidney failure. So if you can get things on board that reduce that cytokine storm, like ginger, the two biggies are going to be your gingerberaceae, which is the ginger family, and that's going to be the two biggies are ginger and turmeric. So eat ginger and turmeric, and you can also take curcumin, which is extract of turmeric. Marshmallow, licorice, rhubarb, and grapefruit seed, we already said those are great antivirals. And for your immune system, we already said vitamin A, C, D, and D. And also if you do zinc lozenges, you suck on zinc, and you have to find a zinc lozenge that doesn't give you an upset tummy because they can do that. But some zinc lozenges won't do that. And there's a popular form of a zinc lozenge. I've tried not to say brands, but there's a popular form of a zinc lozenge that has the ingredient is zinc 1X. And so it doesn't cause stomach upset. And it, I find it to be very helpful. Propolis. You know what propolis is?
I do. I just can't think right now.
Okay, it's all right. If you were Brazilian, you would know what propolis is.
Of course.
People from Brazil love their propolis.
Okay, and propolis is?
It's bee resin. It's bee resin. Yes, it's when bees are making honey. You know, bees produce a lot of stuff when they make the beehive, you know, when they make their product. And they make beeswax, and they make propolis, and they make honey. And they make bee pollen. They make really delightful things. So propolis is a resin, and it's a wonderful, it's very sticky, and it's a wonderful antimicrobial thing. It's thought of as an herb, but, you know, it's a thing that bees make. But we use it in herbal medicine. You can get propolis tincture, and you can get propolis. Propolis will often be part of other compounds. Has a very distinct antiseptic taste. Doesn't taste like honey. Doesn't taste that great, quite honestly. But if you know it's in there, it's because it's sticky and it's a great antiviral, it's really helpful. Shrooms, dude. Lots of shrooms.
Shrooms.
Right. We should really be eating mushrooms. When you make your stir fries, when you make your soups, the mushrooms should go in. And pretty much any mushroom you get in the store has immune properties, even just, you know, good old button mushrooms, your portobello mushrooms, certainly your reitake, your maitake, your reishi, and shiitake also all have great immune properties. You should cook them because they have toxins in them that you're not supposed to eat, rua. So I know sometimes you get raw mushrooms. You're really not supposed to eat those. I am not sure what the toxins are, but edible mushrooms should be cooked. They should be sauteed or put in soup. Yes.
So people who put mushrooms in salads, it's not a good idea.
No, but you could marinate them. You could saute them and marinate them first, and then you could put them in your salad. They just have to be cooked first. You know, it's a right to put them in your salad. It just should be cooked. Olive leaf. I'm a big fan of the olive leaf, and you are not going to get the same benefits from eating olives or olive oil that you will get from the olive leaf. The olive leaf has the highest concentration of hydroxytyrosol.
Hydroxytyrosol.
Not Tylersol. Are you missing Tyler?
Yeah. We'll see him soon.
We'll see Tyler before too long. Tyler will be in our face. No, hydroxytyrosol, and hydroxytyrosol is antiviral and also helps with blood pressure. But the highest concentration is in olive leaf, so you need to get the olive leaf extract in order to get that benefit. It's not going to hurt you to eat olives and eat olive oil. You're just not going to get as much antiviral benefit from those foods. The olives and olive oil are going to give you omega-9 fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatory and will help you in other ways. So have at it. But if you want to get great antiviral benefits and blood pressure benefits, you want the olive leaf. I take olive leaf. It's one of my favorite things. Okay, and oregano. Oregano will kill anything, too. You can eat oregano as a food, and you can also just, you know, you get the extracts. The heavy-duty extracts will also, they'll kill anything. And you can use, like I said, you can get oregano. You can get oregano nasal spray, and you can also, you can get oil of oregano, and you can put a couple drops in water and gargle with it. That's something you can do. And you can also ingest oregano oil. And oregano oil is pretty strong tasting. So if you do, oregano oil in water, you want to put maybe two drops in. And And that's it. You want it to be really, really mellow. You can also take oregano oil in caps. It is a mint. It's in the mint family. And some of you are going to find that it repeats on you. And poor Ron has trouble taking oregano. I've given him oregano oil because oregano oil is a great thing. The carvacrol in oregano oil can be really helpful for... the carvacrol can be really helpful for fighting Lyme disease. And it's one of the things we use in our armamentarium against Lyme. It's really lovely. Did I remind you to wash your hands? If you haven't washed your hands lately, why don't you do it now? Don't if you're in the car and driving, don't do it right now. But the next opportunity you have, do you have hand sanitizer in the pocket next to your, in the seat pocket on either side of you? If you don't, it might be a good idea to get some hand sanitizer and put it in there. I keep hand sanitizer in the little pocket next to my, on the door pocket. So I was having a great conversation with my friend David Olar. She's a naturopathic physician practicing in Plymouth, New Hampshire, and he's super smart. And he, I wanted him to come on, to call in today because he actually watched a webinar on all about the coronavirus, and I wanted him to weigh in, but he wasn't. He's very busy, thank goodness, and he's unable to call in today. So I had a nice talk with him, but he gave me, we collaborated on a handout. He sent me a handout, an article that he put together, which I edited a little bit, and you know, he gave me permission to use it and give it out to my patients. So anyway, so he said some, when you talk to other naturopathic physicians, frequently you find that they like stuff that you didn't know about and vice versa. So you share stuff. So he made me aware of the oregano nasal spray, which is exciting. So I'm going to see if I can find that. So there are some basic things that he reminded me of, which I could have thought of, but I didn't. And he brought him to my attention. Eating fermented things can be really helpful. So because of the probiotics. Probiotics are antimicrobial. And probiotics have compounds that will crowd out other things. So that kombucha that you drink can help your immunity. It has wonderful probiotics. It also has products of the probiotics that will kill microorganisms. So miso. You know what miso is? Miso is soybean paste.
I was going to say, you have some miso at the house, don't you, for making miso soup?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't looked at it in a while. Right.
But that's so what it is, it's soybean paste?
Yes, it's a soybean paste, and sometimes it has other things in it. It'll be flavored with, but it's essentially soybean paste, yes.
It needs flavor. It doesn't taste very good.
Yeah, and you can flavor it with other stuff. You can throw in some
to.
tamari or garlic or seaweed or... you know, sesame, you know, and miso will come plain and also flavored. You might want to get the plain so you could do what you want with it, you know, or you get the flavor because you don't want to bother. So anyway, culinary herbs, all the culinary herbs have health properties, and we try to encourage people to don't eat bland food, eat herbs and spices. So name a culinary herb, Ron, that you like.
A culinary herb that I like? Oh, I like lots of things. I love basil.
Right, basil. Basil is a terrific herb. Basil is a mint. Mm. It's in the mint family. A lot of the culinary herbs are mints. They're in the Laminaceae family. They're mints. And basil has wonderful essential oils in it. Also has antimicrobial properties. Name another one.
Rosemary.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Rosemary is fab. Rosemary has wonderful it is fab. First of all, tastes really good. If you're going to eat a potato, it really should have rosemary on it.
Yeah, and it's good on fish.
Yeah.
It's you know, there's a lot of things that you
can
do
really
with rosemary.
It's really good.
It's good.
Yes, and it really has great anti-inflammatory properties. It's usually one of the ingredients. Like we have mixed herbal anti-inflammatories, and it will be one of the ingredients in those. So it's lovely. Name another one.
Well, there's the rest of the song, and that would be parsley, sage, and thyme.
Okay.
Because
so,
it's parsley, sage, rosemary.
Right on. So parsley, parsley is really good for your kidneys, and it's good for detoxification. Sage does all kinds of things. Sage is actually an anti-galactagogue. So if you're looking, you know, if you're weaning your baby and it's time for you want your milk to dry up, it helps to dry up your milk. Conversely, if you're trying to make milk, don't eat a lot of sage. It's an anti-galactagogue. the other thing, the other neat, here's a neat property
of
sage.
Galactagogue?
Yeah, galactagogue is something that causes you to produce milk.
Okay.
When you're lactating.
All right.
Yes, and an anti-galactagogue.
That's not something that I do.
No,
no.
But there might be some nursing moms listening, so
right.
Yeah, okay.
So
if you're weaning
adding.
Your baby and you can take sage to help dry up your milk, conversely, if you are not weaning your baby and you want to make milk, do not have a lot of sage. The other thing is sage has this really neat property. If some people have a gene, they have an anomaly in the gene that helps them to absorb vitamin D. Vitamin D is super important for all kinds of functions in your body. Sage can help you absorb vitamin D. That's one of the things that it does.
Huh.
It also happens to be another antimicrobial, antibacterial, antiviral, because it has volatile oils in it. It's nice and drying, so it will help you with mucus. And then what did you say? Thyme. Thyme is also, it'll kill pretty much anything. It's a great antimicrobial as well. They often will put thyme oil in mouthwash.
Right.
So it'll clean bad bacteria. It'll kill the bacteria that causes cavities.
And you can find all those things if you go to Scarborough Fair.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So all of those, it's true. So culinary herbs are your friends. One of the things to think about, too, is to do things to reduce mucus. So if you tend to have mucus in general, say you have allergies, so say you, whatever is causing your respiratory allergy, if you are suffering more from your respiratory allergies, they're going to make you more prone to getting the viruses, whatever, any virus, because you're going to have more mucus around. And that mucus is a good breeding ground for viruses. So you want to help yourself, to help dry yourself up. And guess what can do that? Ginger, sage, and then the mucilaginous herbs like marshmallow root. They can help you to thin your mucus and release it. N-acetylcysteine and bromelain will help you to thin mucus, as will guaifenesin. So if you have a lot of mucus, it's a good idea to work on getting rid of that mucus. And so you can use those substances. You can also just, there's a very precious and rare substance that can help you reduce your mucus.
Yeah, water. We're back to water.
Yeah. Drink lots of water. Absolutely.
There's a lot of things that water is good for.
Water, yeah, well, since we're mostly water, it's a good idea to keep drinking it. Yes. And then the other thing to reduce your mucus is if you are, now, at some point when February is turning into March, I check my my weather services to see if the pollen has started yet, and I'm often surprised at when it has. So I checked it a week or two ago, and there was no pollen anywhere. I checked it yesterday, and guess what?
What?
Cedar juniper.
Already?
Already, yes. Mm. Yes, and I was at Rob's house this weekend, and he showed me a tree. And he said, I don't think this tree is going to be producing. It might have been a maple tree. So I don't think this tree is going to be producing any much sap anymore because it had buds on it.
Mm.
Yeah. So if there's pollen
wow.
in the air, there's going to be some trees with buds. It's March. It's all right.
I know, but it's early. It's really early.
You think it's early?
Well, yeah, because right. so if it's really early, let's say it's really early, and then we get a very, very deep freeze, it could damage the trees.
Oh.
Because the buds are out. Because that's not good. It's not good.
I'm not counting on the deep freeze. I know we're going to get snow this week. We're going to get like a little bit of snow on Friday night. But I am not counting on the deep freeze. I think the winter ship in Connecticut has sailed. That is
well,
my opinion.
I think you're being optimistic. I've
All
lived
right.
here for way too long.
And so March can go up and down. So can
oh,
April.
Oh, yeah. And we came in like a lamb. But we could go out like a lion.
You're right. That is not, and you have said you have stated and, that you have had snow on your birthday in the
and
past.
And that is the 26th of April.
Right.
So
I
yeah,
know.
I mean, you can't just assume.
And remember, we used to do the May Day metric at in Glastonbury,
mm-hmm.
and some years we'd be all. Bundled up, we'd be like
oh,
three
yeah.
layers because it would be cold. And some years we'd be, you know, in maybe a jersey and arm warmers, knee warmers. It would depend. That's a funny time of year because you just don't know what you're going to get. So I love to go to Florida at some point in this time of year. And it was wonderful to go to Oregon at the end of March last year because I went to Florida in the beginning of March and I went to Florida or I went to Oregon at the end of March, beginning of April. So I got away from the cold. And Florida, of course, was warm. And then when I got to Oregon, the spring is always ahead of us in Portland, Oregon, even though it's further north. Because of that maritime climate, they get leaves and they get flowers before we do. So it was really beautiful when I was there late March, early April. Anyway, the other thing to do to reduce mucus, of course, so if your allergies are kicking up, you want to do, once again, if there are things inside your nose, they need to come out. So you need to use your neti pot and your nasal sprays, and you need to gargle. And to get that mucus out, and and it's also a good idea if you're eating foods that are making you mucus, it's a good idea to stop eating those. And what are the biggies? One of them is wheat and grains in general, and that may or may not be a thing for you, but I can almost guarantee you that dairy will give you mucus, because dairy has been studied to cause mucus in people who are not allergic to it. So try and experiment. If you eat a fair bit of dairy, have no dairy for 2 or 3 days, and then get yourself a container of Greek, if you like Greek yogurt, get yourself a container of Greek yogurt. Why I say Greek yogurt? Because Greek yogurt is very high in dairy protein, the stuff that's going to give you the mucus. It's like mostly, it's concentrated dairy protein. If you get mucusy from the Greek yogurt, then dairy makes you mucusy. And you would do well to reduce your dairy to a point where you're not getting mucus from it. You may find that you do just fine with butter and certainly ghee. Butter only has a tiny bit of protein in it, and ghee has none. So, but it's the dairy protein that's going to make you mucusy. So watch out for that. And then sugar, sugar, sugar. Did I say sugar?
Sugar.
Yes,
sugar.
Honey, you could probably do a little bit of honey. But you are my candy girl.
Then you'd
maybe
be
not
my candy
so much.
Girl.
Maybe not so much.
But
yeah.
You are my candy girl.
Fine. Okay. But
deal with it.
But not a good idea because of mucus. I should probably not be your candy girl. I should probably be your radish girl. That would be better.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, at this point, your radish girl, and the only way I can deal with the onions and garlic is the fire. So I'll be your radish and fire cider girl.
Okay.
How's that?
That's good.
Yeah.
So you are a little fiery.
I'm a little fiery. That's because I'm a Sagittarius and it's a fire sign. Okay. So there you go. So those are things to do. So in summary, you want to take antiviral stuff. Antiviral vitamins and herbs, and drink lots of water, wash your hands a lot. Don't worry so much about the mask unless you yourself are sick. The other thing is, if you get sick, if you get a cold or a cough, go home. Just stay home. Don't infect other people. Here's the other thing. If you have an infection of any kind, whether it's a cold or flu or the coronavirus or anything, one of the things you want to do is go home and not infect other people, because if this coronavirus is running around, if your people whose immune systems are down are going to be more likely to catch it. So you don't want to be spreading other kinds of infections. So if you're sick, go home. If you stay home and rest, you're going to get better faster. And of course, if you're not well, you should rest. I didn't mention you should go to sleep too. So
yeah,
if you feel bad because you're laying around too much, don't. Just lay around. You heard it here. You have my permission to lay around and not do stuff, because the resting is going to make it so that you have more energy and you also have the energy to fight any infection. So you might, one of the things that happens is they'll test people for coronavirus. They'll find that they're positive and they're asymptomatic. Why? Because they have healthy immune systems that are fighting the coronavirus. Hopefully that can be you. And you know what I intend to do? If I, for some reason, am found to be positive with the coronavirus, and I'm healthy, or I get through it easily, I'm going to offer to give up my blood so that they can make a serum out of it, so they can make antibodies for people who are not so fortunate.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to happen. I definitely had a bronchitis and I got through it, and I'm feeling pretty good right now. Now I'm taking every immune thing you can imagine. So fire cider, that elderberry, that we got an elderberry. I wouldn't call it a syrup. They called it elderberry syrup at that farm Know Your Farmer fair.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call it a syrup. I call it a tonic because it's liquid. So I took a shot glass and I've been having the elderberry tonic and also the fire cider. And I'm halfway through that bottle of fire cider. And I'm going to get some more.
That's amazing.
I'm enjoying the fire cider. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's really good for you. I'm going to have some more later. Yum.
Yeah. You have fire cider and you have lots of motherwort in the house. Why do you have so much motherwort?
Because Amy made me a whole bunch.
Because there's many.
I know.
As I've been redoing our cabinets.
You found all the motherwort.
I found like multiple
motherworts. Well, because Tobacco Road had a surplus of motherwort growing and Amy grabbed a bunch of it and she knows I like it because it's both unnerving and it calms your heart and your blood pressure. So Amy made me a whole bunch of it. It was very easy for her to make a lot of because there was a lot of herb. So she just made a whole bunch of it for me. So I take it and it calms me down and it helps my blood pressure. So I have some. I also have some sitting at the office. I also have some fire cider she made at the office because Amy is just awesome. She's just an awesome person.
I know.
And she makes stuff for me and she gives me radishes to eat. So anyway, so let's wrap up and talk about some heart healthy foods, some foods that are healthy for your heart. Because, you know, I'm a little concerned because I have a hereditary tendency towards high blood pressure. And I'm looking at this salad online and the salad is covered in blackberries and raspberries. And it looks yummy. Makes me want to eat some blackberries and raspberries. And the other thing that's happening is that berry season is now in Florida. So Plant City, Florida is ridiculous for berries. They grow lots of strawberries there. So if you go to the supermarket, you might find organic berries from Florida right now. They're in season. And I don't know, like I'm going to leave for Florida on April 4th. So I don't know if they'll still be in season at that time. But if they are, I'll be getting some. But I would like to go to the store now and, you know, make a nice berry salad. That will be super delicious. And, you know, Monday also is Purim. And Purim, you eat treats, and of course you eat hamantaschen, which is a triangular shaped cookie or tart that usually traditionally has prune in the middle of it or moon, which is poppy seed paste. It's a very traditional Eastern European thing, but you can get hamantaschen with other things in it, cherries and apricots and stuff like that.
It's a funny word.
Hamantaschen?
Yeah.
Oh, it means a hat of Haman.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's still a funny word.
Because Haman was the bad guy in the story of Esther. Yeah. So anyway, so I might make a fruit salad to bring to the Purim celebration, which I'll probably go to at B'nai Israel. All right. So there are a whole bunch of foods that you should be eating to maximize your heart health. One of them is, they're going to shock you when you hear what they are. The first one is leafy green vegetables. You should eat green vegetables to help with your heart health. I know that shocks you, like spinach, kale, and collards. They have vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Vitamin K helps you to clot your blood and also protects your arteries. They have nitrates, which helps to reduce your blood pressure. So they help you make nitric oxide. You know, if you increase your increase your leafy green vegetables, you have a lower risk of heart disease. And if you increase your intake, you'll have a 16% lower incidence of heart disease. And unfortunately, it hasn't helped me with my blood pressure, but we eat leafy greens like they're, I mean, really, we eat so much in the way of leafy greens. I probably don't have coronary artery disease, but I still have the blood pressure thing, and I think that's just a stress thing. Okay, whole grains. Now, the only thing with whole grains is if you have a blood sugar situation, it can raise your blood sugar. But on the other hand, if you eat whole grains as opposed to refined grains, that's going to be much better for you. And if you eat them in moderation, it's probably good. So you're talking about whole wheat if you're not allergic to wheat, brown rice, oats, rye, barley, buckwheat, quinoa. So quinoa and buckwheat, it's mentioning quinoa and buckwheat here. Quinoa and buckwheat are not grains. They're pseudo grains. They're actually more like seeds. They're not in the cereal grass family. And they tend to be lower glycemic, not raise your blood sugar as much as the cereal grasses. But the whole grains, because they have fiber and they help to reduce LDL just by sweeping it away, and certainly benefits your heart health. Eating at least 3 servings of whole grains a day significantly decrease blood pressure. I won't be doing that because the other side of that is it's going to raise my it's going to raise my blood sugar situation. I can't eat that much whole grain. So if you don't have a weight situation where you're reducing your carbs to lose weight, you can eat 3 servings of whole grains, and it can help to reduce your blood pressure or reduce your stroke risk. But I don't see how that can work if it raises your blood sugar situation, because that will increase your stroke risk. So do the whole grain thing only if you're not in a situation where you need to reduce your grains because of a blood sugar situation. Berries. Now, berries are something that most people can get behind unless you're on a ketogenic diet, which most people are not. Strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, really great nutrients. And, you know, since the power company came and took away our trees, we've had the invasion of the blackberries. And this year we had more blackberries than we could eat. It was pretty amazing. Now they're not as big and juicy as the ones in Oregon, but they were still pretty impressive.
But they're in our yard.
They are in our yard, and that's a wonderful thing. But they crowded out the other berries. 2 years ago, we had blueberries and raspberries. We had black and red raspberries. And this year, we really didn't have much of that. We had blackberries and also blackberries, which is not bad. Because if you're going to just have one berry, it's not a bad one to have, because the darker the berry, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter juice. But also, the darker the berry, the more anthocyanins in it. So you're going to get wonderful antioxidant benefits from them. And the anthocyanins help to regulate your blood sugar, so you're less likely to have metabolic syndrome, or it reduces your metabolic syndrome. Blueberries improve the function of cells, helps your blood pressure and clotting, and that if you eat berries, it can help to reduce your LDL cholesterol. And they're super delicious. Avocados are great because they have lots of monounsaturated fats, and some people don't like avocados. We are not among those people.
No, we are not.
We like the avocado, and we put the avocado in the salad.
And they tell me this thing about avocado toast, which I've never done, but apparently it's a thing.
Totally,
we're completely missing out on, from what I've been told.
All you have to do is take the avocado and spread it on your toast.
On your toast. I mean, it doesn't sound like anything.
Yeah, but you can like do
special,
cool things. Like you put the avocado on the toast, and you could put a little of, artisanal cheese. You could put some pepper flakes, or, you know, you could flavor it up in different ways. And, you know, you could take avocado and mix it with raw organic cocoa powder and lightly sweeten it and get an avocado pudding or mousse. So they're really nice. They're really rich in potassium. They also have thylakoids in them, which help with fat loss, and they also have the monounsaturated fats. I think it's thylakoids that they have.
Hmm.
Avocados and thylakoids.
Thylakoids?
Yeah, thylakoids.
Okay.
Avocado and the thylakoids. Organization of thylakoids in a granite of chloroplast. Yes. Indeed. So they do have thylakoids, and thylakoids are compounds that can help you with fat loss. So they're very nice. All right. Fatty fish and fish oil, because they're anti-inflammatory. The big thing that the two really big things that fish oil does for you is the omega-3 fatty acids incorporate themselves into anti-inflammatory compounds in your body, and they incorporate themselves into your cell membranes, and they increase membrane fluidity. So membrane fluidity is really important for allowing substances to get in and out of your cells. So if you have very fluid cell membranes, you're going to be able to let lots of good stuff in. All your vitamins and minerals and stuff can get in, and all the bad stuff, or the stuff that needs to exit, can get out. Your insulin is more likely to be able to bond to your cells if you have good blood sugar, good cell membranes, and then you're going to need less insulin, and you'll be more insulin sensitive. So you have less insulin around, you'll need less insulin, which means you'll have less inflammation. So it's really good. It also helps to reduce your risk factors for heart disease, blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and all that kind of stuff. If you don't eat a lot of seafood, it's a good idea to take fish oil. If you don't like the taste of fish oil, then you could take it in the pills, and you can get enterically coated fish oil. So it has a coating, so it doesn't break down till it gets into your stomach, into your intestine, so it doesn't repeat on you. And fish oil has been shown to reduce triglycerides. So when my patients come in and they have high triglycerides, I give them fish oil. Then walnuts. I try to eat some walnuts every day. What do walnuts look like?
What are walnuts? They look like brains.
Yes, they do. They look like brains. Yeah. Remember when Greg was around and he used to make zombie jokes?
Right.
And he used to walk around going, brains, brains.
Yeah.
Well, don't eat actual brains. I guess you can.
Some people do.
They do, and it makes me nervous because brains can have prions in them. They can have some weird viruses and stuff in them. So I'm not.
Next thing you know, we'll have another weird virus.
Yeah, I'm not big on the brains. But eating walnuts I am big on because of the, again, they have monounsaturated fats in them. Also can reduce LDL and helps with blood pressure. And I really do. I eat some walnuts pretty much every day. They always go on the salad, and if they don't, I grab a handful of them. And, you know, when I bring the walnuts home from the store, you know, when I'm putting them away, some of them get into the mouth. So beans. So beans are one of those. The beans are interesting because they are a funky food. Shout out to Suzanne Summers, who referred to the beans as a funky food. What makes them funky? Because they are both a protein and a starch. So they have protein in them, but they also have starch in them. So some people do great with them and some people do not. So if you have some people with beans, they help to regulate their blood sugar. Some people, they might raise their blood sugar. The thing with beans is they contain resistance. They do contain resistant starch. So resistant starch is helps to slow down the absorption of starches and sugar. So it helps with your blood sugar regulation and it can help with fat loss. So if it works that way, it's a good thing for you. And because it slows down absorption, it reduces your resistant starch can reduce your blood levels of triglycerides and cholesterol. And certain factors for heart disease. And, you know, if the beans are colored, then they're going to have anthocyanins in it, which are great antioxidants. And so that's going to help with your blood pressure and inflammation. The thing is, not everybody can digest beans, and some people have to do extra things to make them more digestible, like soaking them, even if they're in a can, adding baking soda to them and cooking them for a long time. And then some people, no matter what they do, they get awful gas from beans because you need probiotic help in order to be able to comfortably eat beans. And if you don't have the right probiotics, you're just going to get gas. Dark chocolate is also good for your heart health. It has flavonoids in it. And it can help lower your blood pressure, and you have a lower risk of coronary artery disease. And especially, if you use, like I've taken to taking a spoonful of raw organic unsweetened cocoa powder into applesauce and eating it that way. So I'm getting the benefits of the cocoa with none of the sugar. And so I'm hoping that that's going to help me. When you get cocoa that has no sugar in it, then you get all the benefits and you don't get the sugar. But if you do get a bar, you want to get at least 70% dark chocolate. Tomatoes are full of lycopene, which is really good for heart health. And it's also anti-cancer, particularly for the prostate. Helps to prevent heart attack and stroke. And your best source of lycopene, believe it or not, is cooked tomatoes, and especially pasteurized. So tomato juice, because it's cooked the longest, is your best source of lycopene because it makes it bioavailable. But tomato sauce will make it bioavailable too. You will get some in fresh tomatoes as well. Almonds, I eat almost every day, can help your cholesterol. They have omega-3 or omega-9, monounsaturated fats, omega-9s in them. The fiber can help to reduce your cholesterol and help your blood pressure. Other seeds like chia, flax, and hemp have omega-3s. They have alpha-linolenic acid in them, which is a great anti-inflammatory acid. And hemp seeds have arginine, which will increase your nitric oxide. And flax seeds keep your blood pressure, help your blood pressure and cholesterol. Flaxseed oil has been studied to help to prevent pneumonia. So you might want to add that because, you know, coronavirus can cause pneumonia. Garlic, yay, really terrific for cardiovascular disease, helps with blood pressure. If I could take garlic, I would probably have lower blood pressure, but I can't because it gives me an upset stomach. So garlic and onions can give you an upset stomach, but if you are one of those lucky people that it doesn't, please eat it. It's so good for you. It's antimicrobial, helps with your cholesterol, helps with your blood pressure. Olive oil, we talked about already, has great antioxidants. It can help to raise your HDL, 48% lower risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, and it lowers your blood pressure, systolic and diastolic. And we have it almost every day. Edamame is something I've taken to eating, and I get the roasted edamame seeds If you're not allergic to soy, you can use edamame. It has isoflavones that can lower cholesterol, improve your heart health. And soy protein can lower your LDL. And that you're, if you lower your cholesterol supposedly just by 10%, you have 15% less risk of dying of coronary artery disease. So edamame can help with that. So you can eat the steamed pods or you can eat the roasted seeds. And then there's green tea, which I love to have. It helps with fat burning, improves your insulin sensitivity, has polyphenols and catechins. By the way, if you drink green tea and you add lemon to it, it makes all those great polyphenols more bioavailable. And you can drink it hot or cold. Let me tell you that cold green tea with lemon in it is so refreshing. It's really a wonderful thing to have during, you know, when you're hot and thirsty and during the summer. It's a very refreshing drink. And I like it with lemon in, and I like the taste better with lemon in, but the lemon actually helps make the polyphenols more bioavailable. So there you have it. You have more information about the coronavirus and some healthy foods you can eat to help your heart. So I think that I shall now go, because, you know.
And we'll talk more about the coronavirus in the next show.
Yeah, we probably will.
Yeah, we will. We will. It's a big deal.
All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.